Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, May 29, 2016, 2 Timothy.
As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble now to worship you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says in corrected translation, "And also, if anyone competes as an athlete in the games, he absolutely does not receive the winner's crown unless he competes according to the rules." One, you either regulate your own life or God will do it for you. You either regulate your own life or God will do it for you. Two, if you regulate your own life with great self-discipline, you will wind up a winner believer. With greater grace blessings for both time and for all eternity. Three, if God does it for you, you will wind up under divine discipline. Divine discipline as a reversionist. Four. So the option is this: either you discipline yourself, or God will discipline you. Five. Disciplining yourself includes, of course, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Living by the grace and power of God. The filling of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Word of God that you consistently and faithfully learn and believe. It's handling the problems of carnality through rebound. We all sin, but when you sin, you recognize that you've sinned and you acknowledge your sins to God. And He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Carnality is a simple thing to solve. Carnality has been provided for by the grace principle of rebound. Reversionism, well, that's a whole different ballgame. Six, You don't recover from reversionism through rebound. Recovery from reversionism is far more difficult. The first problem is, you have to be aware of the fact that you are in reversionism. Unfortunately, many, many reversionists never see that they are in reversionism. Two, many reversionists are in blind arrogance. And they can't even see themselves as God sees them. They're in blind arrogance. They can't even see themselves as God sees them. And therefore, three, they go through warning, intensive, and dying discipline. Now, you can wake up somewhere along the line, and hopefully that happens. Hopefully the warning discipline wakes you up. If it doesn't, then hopefully the intensive discipline wakes you up. If that doesn't, well, then you will receive dying discipline. And as we studied in our special on pleasing, it doesn't please God to have to administer dying discipline to the reversionist. What pleases God is that the reversionist wakes up, rebounds, and then makes good decisions. It'll take thousands of good decisions because you got there by thousands of bad decisions. That's what pleases God. Four, they not only need to rebound, but they must change their thinking from arrogance to humility. Five, if it took you thousands of bad decisions to get into reversionism, it will take you thousands of good decisions to get out. Reversion recovery is a whole different ball game. If it took you thousands of bad decisions to get into reversionism, it will take you thousands of good decisions to get out. Seven, either you learn the easy way, assembling in a local church where the Word of God is taught, in humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it, and listen and learn and believe Bible doctrine. That's the easy way. Believe me, that's the easy way. Or you can learn the hard way. And that's divine discipline. And one thing about divine discipline, it is suffering that you can't handle. You see, suffering for blessing, you can handle that. You have the problem-solving devices. You're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You have God's grace and God's power, and you can handle suffering for blessing. You just move right on. But suffering for discipline, you can't handle it. You can't handle it. It's too great. And God designed it so you cannot handle it. So that you wake up. Wake up. and rebound, and always the great enemy is arrogance. Arrogance is just no humility. As long as you're enslaved in Satan's cosmic system of arrogance, you're going nowhere. Somewhere along the line, you got to realize you are nothing. Absolutely nothing. A zero. And God is everything. If you get to that point, there's hope. You're nothing and God is everything. Now you have the opportunity to begin to respect God and His Word and the path through teaches it. So either you learn the easy way, assembling in a local church, in humility, listening, learning and believing doctrine, or you learn the hard way, divine discipline. Now, a long time ago, years ago, there was a deacon. He's no longer a deacon here. I was over at his house. We were watching, I think we were watching football. Had to be watching something great. Must have been football. It wasn't soccer. I mean, if you're a soccer mom, I still don't watch soccer anyway. So it was a football game. We were watching football. Great sport. And he had a child about Blake's age. And you all know who Blake is. That class is over. Blake's the guy who comes sprinting out of the blocks. Down the... Ah! I love it. Now that is positive volition. When I see you coming into the church that way, I'll say, hey, they finally arrived. They finally made it. Well, I'll be dead gum. Well, he was about Blake's age, and we were watching, and the fellow had put out, he knew I loved hot peppers. Hot peppers. And he had a bunch of different kinds of hot peppers, which I was eating like candy, enjoying the game, eating my peppers. And this little boy came up, and he started to reach for one of those peppers. And I said, no. I said, no, you don't want to eat that. And he looked at me. I said, that is very hot. Hot, 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 burn. You won't like it. It's not good. So I started eating him again, and then he started to reach for it again. He's looking at me. I said, no. See, this is the easy way. Listen to Pastor Olson. And no, I didn't teach Luke that other thing. I don't know who did, but yeah, I got the credit for it. No. And he looked at me like, dear man, you're trying to keep something really good away from me. You're eating the good stuff for yourself. You're trying to keep it from me. All this was going through his mind. And I looked at him, and I already said no twice. And I said, well, I thought, go ahead. Take a handful. And throw them in and chew them up and just eat those things. And he did. And he bawled, 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 and he bawled. They had to take him out, and another bawled and bawled. That's the hard way. But you see, you can break this down real simple. You can learn the easy way. Listen in humility. Learn it, believe it. Or you can learn the hard way. And you know, that little guy grew up to be a man. I saw him. Well, I was coaching track and field at the time. And he was running at one of the 4A schools, a distance runner. And he saw me, and he came up to me. And I hadn't seen him since he was like Blake's size. And he came up to me, and he said, Pastor Olson, I still remember that night when you said, don't eat the jalapeno peppers, and I ate them. I said, you still remember that? He goes, yes. So you learned? He said, I've never eaten one since. So that's the good thing. He learned the hard way, but at least he learned. Now, you know, if you're going to, hopefully, if you don't learn the easy way, please learn the hard way. Because the option runs out if you don't learn the hard way either. 8. Learning the easy way is positive volition to Bible doctrine. Humility. Authority orientation. Self-discipline to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Learning the easy way is positive volition, humility, authority orientation, self-discipline to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. 9. Learning the hard way is going through reversionism and divine discipline. Point 10, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Eleven. The winner believer, the teleos believer, learns about God's love in greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings that he pours out on him for time, and greater grace blessings he pours out on him for all eternity. He learns about God's love and the Stephanos that he receives at the judgment seat of Christ, the great welcome home that he has for the winner believer. 12, the loser believer learns about God's love through divine discipline, Hebrews 12:6. The loser believer learns about God's love through divine discipline, Hebrews 12:6. Thirteen, every time you neglect Bible doctrine or reject Bible doctrine, you're choosing to learn the hard way. Second Timothy 2:5 again says, and also if anyone competes as an athlete in the games, he absolutely does not receive the winner's crown unless he competes according to the rules. All right? 1. The teleos athletes, the master athlete, absolutely does not receive the winner's crown, the Stephanos, unless he competes according to the rules. Two, in the gymnasium, he was under the authority of the gymnasiarchos. And he had to follow all the rules that the gymnasiarchos established. 3. In the stadion, he was under the authority of the krites. K-R-I-T, long E-S, krites. This is the word translated judge. There were several judges at the athletic games watching everything. False starts. Now, I don't know how many false starts were allowed in the ancient athletic games. Most of the modern games allow you one false start. So you'll find athletes guessing in the blocks. But once you guess and miss, then the second time you stay in the blocks. So it's far better not to guess at all and to always learn to go with the gun. Go with the gun. Runner to your mark, set, and then every fiber, every nerve in your body is waiting to explode out of those blocks when the gun goes off. You're a ball of nerves at the set position. One giant ball of nerve just waiting to explode out of the blocks. So you go with the gun, go with the gun. But if you jump, might have been to Nevada, you get one false start, you're disqualified. So we always taught the kids, always learn to go with the gun, go with the gun, go with the gun. And you have lanes, and you have to run in your lanes. Stay in your lane. If you run out of your lane, you're disqualified. There's judges watching the race. There's judges at the corners. There's judges on the straightaways. They're watching to see, are the athletes staying in the lanes? In the distance races, you start out in lanes, and then at a certain point, after you pass that point, you can all move in inside. But if you do it too soon, you're disqualified. Relays, there's an exchange zone. If you exchange outside of the exchange zone, you're disqualified. There's disqualification for all kinds of things. There's disqualification in hurdles. I was telling you this year, an athlete was disqualified for bringing their trail leg around the hurdle and not over the hurdle. They were disqualified. There's all kinds of rules in the stadium, and the Cretes, the judges, are there. And if you break any of those rules, you are disqualified. So in the gymnasium, he was under the authority of the gymnasiarchos. In the stadium, he was under the authority of the Cretes, the judges. 4. The athletes, then, was low man on the totem pole. The athlete was on the bottom. He had no authority at all. Five, as a believer in a local church, you are like the athletes, no authority at all. You're a student without portfolio. Six, to become a winner believer, you have to be under authority, especially any authority you consider to be unfair or unjust. To become a winner believer, you have to be under authority, especially any authority you consider to be unfair or unjust, which you may be right or you may be wrong. One of the greatest things that can ever happen to you in life is to be under unfair and unjust authority and to function with honor. To function with honor and virtue and character and integrity under unfair and unjust authority. That is great. That develops phenomenal character. Those are the qualities that will carry you in life, in everything in life, to be a winner. So when you find yourself, and probably you all will at some time or another, find yourself under unfair and unjust authority, well, you ought to go home immediately after class and pray and thank God. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So to become a winner believer, you have to be under authority, especially especially any authority you consider to be unfair or unjust. 7. Because that requires humility. And that's the foundation. That's the foundation of all the virtues in the spiritual life. Humility. And that requires maximum self-discipline. Now, I've been watching war movies all weekend. I taped them. I looked them up. I saw on the classic movie channel, they were playing war movies. And I taped, I don't even know what the limit is on my machine, but I taped a bunch of them. I got so many things on there, I would have to live 1,000 years old to watch them all. But I taped all these war movies, and they were expendable. Now, what a great movie. What a great movie. They were expendable. About, it's got John Wayne in it. It's got to be damn good. Got John Wayne and their PT boats. And it was PT boats. And the movie starts before the war. And the PT boats were looked down on by everyone in the Navy and everyone else. Like, well, you guys, all you got is a glorified canoe, you know. What good are you? We want a destroyer. We don't want a glorified canoe. And so before the war, I mean, they got no respect from anybody. And they were placed in the Philippines. And it turned out they wound up being the stars and did some amazing... They sunk more Japanese destroyers and battleships than a lot of the destroyers that we had in the Navy. And they had a lot of... They're the ones that transported Douglas MacArthur out of the Philippines to Australia. They escorted him out in the darkness of night, slipped out, and took him to Australia, plus some of the other, actually near the end, some of the PT boat leaders were shipped out and sent to Australia to rebuild the American Navy and to return. Which they did return. Returned to the Philippines and defeated the Japanese. Critical in the part of winning World War II. Great movie. Watching that movie, and I've got several more that I'm going to watch today. Tonight, since I'm off tomorrow, I might watch them all night long. I do have to pick up my wife at the airport in the morning. Hopefully I'll be there for that. But in that movie, they were expendable. There were a lot of times they thought they had unfair authority over them. Some of these men in the military, they thought they had unfair authority over them because of the orders that were given to them. They didn't. But they thought that. You know, a lot of believers are the same way. There's a lot of believers that think they have unfair or unjust authority over them. You don't. You just think you do. But a lot of times they thought they had unfair and unjust authority. And then as the movie went on, they realized they didn't. And the orders were excellent orders. Thing is, though, they had the humility that even though they thought they were unfair or unjust, they saluted, said, "Yes, sir," and executed. Saluted, "Yes, sir," executed. One time on the way out, John Wayne kicked a can, and his commander said, "Did that help doing that?" And John Wayne says, "Yes, So then he went up and he kicked a can too. Neither one of them liked the orders that were given to them. Thought they were unfair and unjust. But they were fair and just. So when you think you're under unfair, unjust authority, that's where you have a chance to be a winner believer. You have humility. You have respect. And you move right on. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. 7, that requires humility and maximum self-discipline. 8, the judges, the Cretes and the Stadion, had the authority to institute all discipline with regard to the rules. The judges, the Cretes of the games, had the authority to institute all discipline with regard to the rules. Nine. If you broke the rule, the Cretes would disqualify you. False start, ran out of your lane. Ten, disqualification meant no chance for blessing or reward. Eleven, the reversionist will not accept self-discipline, group discipline, or the authority of anyone but himself. The reversionist will not accept self-discipline, group discipline, or the authority of anyone but himself. 12, he will not regulate himself under the principle of authority. He will not regulate himself under the principle of authority, and therefore he must be regulated by God, divine discipline, warning, intensive, and dying discipline. 13, reversionism and evil not only disqualifies the believer from receiving crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, but results in maximum divine discipline. Reversionism and evil not only disqualifies the believer from receiving crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, but results in maximum divine discipline. 14, if you regulate your own life, you recognize your arrogance and rebound consistently. If you regulate your own life, you recognize your arrogance and rebound consistently. 15, but negative volition to Bible doctrine and resultant reversionism means disqualification. 16. So this great passage in 2 Timothy 2 relates consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine and resultant spiritual maturity, spiritual growth, to the biblical concepts of self-discipline, group discipline, and authority orientation. This passage relates consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine and resultant spiritual growth to the biblical concepts of self-discipline, group discipline, and authority orientation. There's analogy number two. Analogy number one, the soldier. Analogy number two, the master athlete. That brings us to analogy number three, the hard-working farmer. And we'll pick that up next week. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anyone who is here this morning without Christ, without hope, without eternal life, we want to make one issue very clear for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, He was thinking about you. And every sin you've ever committed, past, present, or future, they were all gathered up by God the Father. They were poured out on Jesus Christ. And they were judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore, your sins are no longer the issue. The issue is not a sin question, it's a son question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? For the one who simply believes in Him, there's the gift of eternal life. For the one who rejects Him, eternal condemnation. And right where you're sitting right now, with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, you have the freedom and the privacy in your own soul to be telling God the Father that you are believing in Jesus Christ. And at that very instant, you pass from death to life, from condemnation to justification. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Father, we thank You, sir, for the privilege we have had this morning of fellowshipping with You through the study of Your Word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.